Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. Elena Svetzlot from the Netherlands and I spend time together regularly to talk about parenting and try to give you some strategic ways to use a heart-based approach in order to bring about change in children. This week is going to be just like that as we talk about a specific area in family life that often is something parents want, but it means you have to parent differently if we're going to move in this direction. So Elena, I'm glad you're with me today. Let's talk about where we're going.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everybody listening. It's really good to be together and to continue our conversation on your most recent book. It's really nice to be getting a bit deeper into all the topics that you have put together. The book is called How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything. And together with the book come 13 video teachings covering a number of crucial parenting topics. So we've been talking already in the past weeks about stopping arguing and managing screen time. And today we want to talk about responsibility in children, which I'm sure a lot of parents would be very happy to learn more about and to start applying in the life of their family. So, Dr. Scott, let me start by asking you, why is responsibility so important in the lives of our families and in the lives of our children?
Well, we're trying to get things done in family life. And if we can get kids to contribute to the getting things done process, then it reduces the tension in family life. If parents are nagging all the time and trying to get their children, you know, harping on the kids to get things done, it just increases the tension that exists. So what we want to do is we want to help children develop these inner skills, these skills that are going to help them be successful, not just now, but for the rest of their lives. But it starts now. Whether the child's 3 and needs to put away his toys, or he's 13 and needs to get off the video game, or he's 17 and needs to keep track of the gas in the car, all those things are areas of responsibility that we want children to grow in. And if we can help them now, we're just building for the future. And certainly, parents find themselves like in the middle of the 3-ring circus sometimes, always just telling everybody what to do and getting everything's done. And we're going to try to change that to help parents know how to build something inside of their children that will contribute more to the whole purpose and unity of the family.
Yeah, I think it's indeed very important because sometimes it feels like we are constantly as parents pulling this tug of war between us and the children and trying to get the things done and get them move ahead, get them move to the next thing. So it's so important indeed to start to think about how we can help them become responsible and follow through with things without us having to continuously be that reminder. So Dr. Scott, let's start by talking a bit about internal motivation, because I think if there was a wish and a dream that every parent would hope and wish for and pray for, is that their children develop internal motivation, which means that they would think about what they need to do from within, from themselves, and we wouldn't need to remind them continuously. So what is internal motivation and why is it so important?
Well, that's a great question. When we work with the heart of a child, and that's really what our ministry is all about, how can we help children using a heart-based approach? Then the heart is a source of internal motivation, really. And there's so much going on inside of the heart that God has placed a conscience inside that prompts a child to stay on task, do what they need to do, just like any of us. You know, my conscience reminds me of various things that I need to get done. And so we're trying to equip that conscience. That's part of what internal motivation is all about. When a parent is trying to build a sense of obligation inside the heart of a child, then that obligation, the child is going to be used by the child to say, I need to put my toys away when I'm done. I need to get off the computer at 1 o'clock, or I need to get gas in the car. I mean, those are things that happen when a child has a sense of obligation. Many children don't have that sense of obligation. And so we're trying to build that. I think one of the ways we can build that is by using the words you need to when we're training children. See, I think this whole process of building responsibility has different phases. The first phase with any child is just being able to say to them, you need to. So they're starting to build this internal sense of obligation. Mm-hmm. Once we have it moving, when the obligation is there, then we can start developing it and directing the path of it in some different ways.
Yeah, indeed. I think language is so important. And what we say to our children, instead of asking tentatively questions such as, oh, what do you think about turning off the TV now, it does sound, and it probably comes across differently to children when we say you need to turn off the TV now, or you need to start thinking about specific things that they need to do. So that's absolutely important, and I think it's very crucial that parents think about the language and how they're using that in order to train their children. I know, Dr. Scott, that this is part of a bigger picture, which you call different level of thinking. So this is, you know, it starts with the self, with focusing on self, and then moving into following through with responsibilities and building a consciousness and character at the end of the day. So would you introduce us a bit into that more strategic kind of overview, so parents can understand how that fits in into this concept?
Yes, there's a level one thinking in a person's life, which is all about me, thinking about what I want, what I'm doing right now. It doesn't have much to do with anyone else. It's just about the kinds of things I'm interested in and what I'm doing at the moment. And that's level one thinking. Level two thinking is asking different questions about life. Level two thinking is like, what time is it? Or what day is it? Or what are the responsibilities do I have right now? Or it asks the question, should I be giving my brother a turn on this iPad? It's the responsibility kinds of questions that are very important. And you have to think about in a family, who's doing the responsibility thinking? It's often the mom or the dad. That's why mom and dad are saying you need to get off the computer, or you need to get your shoes on because we're going out the door. And so parents find themselves doing the level two thinking while children are doing the level one thing. That's why we don't like to take children grocery shopping, because children are thinking about level one, what I want. Ooh, can I have that? And but parents have they're into level two thinking. They know they have a limited budget, they have a time frame, they have a to-do list, and all of those things help them stay on track because they're moving toward being, they're just responsible. And I think that what we want is our children to move from the all about me kind of thinking to the kind of thinking that they're starting to think more responsibly about life. That's what we want for children. We want them to move from level one to level two. And I think that's going to take some work on the part of parents, because parents have to parent differently if they're going to move their children in that direction. It doesn't just happen. It's a training process that we take children through to help them move in that direction.
So let's touch a bit on that training process. You know, it starts also, of course, with the language, and we speak a lot in the parenting, biblical parenting, about instruction and the routine on coming when called and following the instructions. The language, like I just mentioned, that parents are using, would you need to? What are the other things parents do, Dr. Scott, to move children into that second level of thinking?
Well, the first things that you're saying are really important, because I think that responsibility is learned through obedience. You might not use the word obedience with your children. Maybe you use the word cooperation or following instructions, but children need to learn how to give up their agenda. They need to learn how to complete a task and report back. All of that is building responsibility in children, and it takes place in the instruction routine. So yes, I think that's where we're going to start. And so parents really need to work on that first stage of building responsibility just by including things like reporting back in the instruction routine. So if they'll do that, then they're starting to help children see that they have a responsibility to complete the task and report back to me, or to, when I give you a task, to say, okay, mom, or okay, dad. All of that really contributes to responsibility development in this first stage. But then we can move to another stage where we're trying to help children see the cues for themselves. Now, what I mean by that is that there are cues that prompt responsible people to act. If we're getting ready in the morning, for example, there are cues. There's the clock, there's the to-do list. And if a child is responsible, then they're looking at the clock and looking at the to-do list. But if they're just on level one thinking, then they're just looking at the iPad, and they want to play on the iPad and or play with their toys. And so who's doing the level two thinking? Well, it's mom, and she's directing the traffic of the morning. Get here and get there and do whatever you need to do. And so what we want to do is just change the way we interact in the morning. So we're going to work with a child to create a list of all the things that have to be done in the morning before we go out the door or we start our day. And then we're going to work with that child to also look at the clock, because those are the cues. So now the parent's going to parent differently. Now the parent says, bring me your list, or parent's going to say, it's 7:25. It's these. See, the parent has to parent differently if they're going to draw children to the cues. If we can draw children to these cues, then children can start doing these things on their own. They don't instantly do it, but this is training. So we're training children to see the cues and take action instead of relying on parents to be the cues for them. This is going to change the way we parent so that children can accomplish tasks and do what they need to do without all the drama or the reminding that parents do.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it kind of ties back to what we started when we began the episode talking about internal motivation and the fact that they will then become internally motivated. And I think, Dr. Scott, what I would like to touch upon just before we close this episode is how do we actually relinquish the responsibility as parents, and how do we actually transfer that to the children? We talk a lot about transferring responsibility. I think that's a step that's always, it's so crucial that needs to happen. Would you like to talk a bit about that?
Sure. We first have to ask the question to parents. What do you want your child to do? When we're done eating, what do you want your child to do? You want him to take his plate off the table and put it in the dishwasher, maybe. Or what do you want your child to do when he leaves the bathroom? You want him to flush the toilet, turn off the light. What do you want your child to do in the morning when it's time to get ready? You want him to be able to get dressed, make his bed, and so on. So you start with what do you want your child to do, okay? Because we have to create the expectations that are there. We're going to have a meeting with the child and say, all right, hey, you're growing in your cooperation skills. This is doing great. One of the things we're working on is responsibility, which means that you're going to manage yourself better. So we're going to practice this at some different times. One of the things, times I think we could practice this is in the bathroom. You know, sometimes you leave the bathroom and leave the light on and the toilet isn't flushed. And so here's what we're going to do. When you leave the bathroom and you're going out the door, we're going to have a cue. Let's make that cue you're going out the bathroom. Just say to yourself, I'm leaving the bathroom. And whenever you're leaving the bathroom, you want to turn around and look, and you want to check. Now you're not going to wait for me as the dad to tell you, turn around and look or go flush the toilet. Now when you leave the bathroom, you're going to stop and you're going to turn around and look. So we have this meeting and we talk about this with the child. But now we're going to parent differently. So when the child does leave the bathroom, we're saying, oh, you're leaving the bathroom. Did you do what you're supposed to do? So we're not telling them to go flush the toilet or turn off the light. Mm. We are asking the question. So we have to be observant here when they're leaving the bathroom, so we can tell them, you're leaving the bathroom. Or let's say you want your child to take the dishes off the table and put them away, or put them in the dishwasher. You might say, well, ask yourself the question, what's the cue? Okay, so if the cue is the child's done eating, if that's the cue, then your child's just going to get up from the table when he's done eating and go put his stuff away. Is that what you want? I don't think so. I think what you want is to create another cue which says to the child, when you're done eating, I want you to say, may I be excused? Because I'm going to say no, because we're going to talk for a little while. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the meal's really about. But when we're done, you can ask me now, can I be excused? And I will say yes. When I say yes, that's your cue. What's it the cue to do? Two things. One, you're going to take your stuff off the table and put it in the dishwasher. And number two, you're going to thank your dad or your mom for making the meal, and then you can go. So what we're doing is we're creating this cue for the child to know what it is that we want them to do or what they need to do. So this is not going to just instantly happen. It's going to require practice. So now where the child gets up from the table and say, wait, you need to sit down at the table. We don't leave the table until we get to the cue. Oh, yeah, can I be excused? And so we say, yes, you may be excused. And so now what we're doing is we're drawing attention to this cue, and children are going to change the way they interact. So what we're doing is trying to bring attention to these cues that will change the way we operate. We're drawing attention to those cues so that children can move forward. We might do the same thing in a when it's time for children to get off the computer. See, here's what happens with the computer. And we talked about this last time a bit when we were talking about computer privileges. Mm-hmm. But when a child needs to get off the computer, whose job is it to get him off the computer? It's mom or dad. Hey, time to get off the computer. Hey, your time's up. We want to transfer that responsibility to the child. What's a cue? The clock. You need to look at the clock. And when the clock says 1 o'clock, You need to be off the computer. If I have to come and tell you to be off the computer, then we're going to lose computer privileges for a while. If you're responsible enough to be on the computer, you need to be responsible enough to get off on your own without me having to tell you. You report to me, I'm off the computer. Do you see what we've done now? Is we're helping children be responsible because we're transferring responsibility to them and giving them cues in order to manage it. That's what parents can do. If parents will move in this direction, it's one of the ways that we can see responsibility grow and develop inside of a child's heart.
Yeah, it's really amazing, actually, how much change this kind of practices can bring in our heart, in the heart of our children, and also in the life of our family, bringing more rest and peace and smoothness when it comes to morning routine or when it comes to evening routine. So I really encourage parents. I use myself a lot of what we're sharing here. So having a son who has ADHD, I can testify that it's a challenging task. But I do encourage parents to listen, make notes, give it a try, read the book, watch the videos. We have so much information available. Dr. Scott has it all published on biblicalparenting.org. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can find specific topics there. So feel free to go ahead and research further or just listen to our podcasts and make sure you like them and share them with those who you might think might benefit from them. Dr. Scott, before we close today, any final thoughts?
Yes. The name of the book is How a Heart-Based Approach Changes Everything. And parents can get that at biblicalparenting.org. It is a book. It is a video series. And there's these blog posts that are there too, that people can have all of the access to all of this in one package that will help them move forward. I would suggest that parents in this particular area, this one chapter of the book, we're talking about looking at tasks differently. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the task. It is about the process and what we're teaching children through the task. If parents are just trying to get things done, then you can probably do that faster by just directing the traffic and pointing and getting things done. But if you're trying to build responsibility, it's not just about the task. It's about the process. And we're going to help children make these changes so they can grow in their ability to be responsible. So that's going to help parents as they're moving forward here in this particular aspect of this whole curriculum.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for sharing your thoughts with us. And we encourage parents, like I said, to listen to other episodes. We have more than 80 episodes in the podcast. And we will continue to keep you informed with our suggestions and with our parenting tips on a weekly basis. So please stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, God bless you.